This is Manager Muddy God's Way, hosted by Compass Catholic Ministries, where we teach the best practices for handling money. In the Bible, there are 2,500 verses that speak directly to how God wants all of us handling money. And we use these biblical principles as part of our new, revised, 6-week small group Bible study called Faith and Money Matters. You can preview this Bible study and see how we can help you eliminate your debt altogether. Go to CompassCatholic.org. My name is Steve Holbrook, and I'm joined by the co-founders of Compass Catholic Ministries, John and Evelyn Bean. At the end of 2007 and extending into most of 08, we experienced what has been called the Great Recession. It was caused by a multiple of reasons, but two of the major factors that the average person on the street played a role in were mortgage banking crisis and the credit card debt. Now, if you read or if you look at or listen to the news, you've been hearing for months these pundits talking about the facts are in that we are headed into another recession. With that hanging over our heads, we felt it crucial that we spend some time giving you our best recommendations on preparing for the next recession. So, John, two of the contributing factors to that recession were the credit card debt and the mortgage debt.
In both cases, Americans were led into this crisis by the banking system. The banks make money on interest they charge on the money that they loan out.
So it's in their best interest to keep loaning you money, whether it's in your best interest or not.
And if you look at mortgage loans first, typically the average person is required to pay anywhere from 5 to 20% as a down payment. Back in 2007, 2008, the banks were loaning 125% or even more of the value of the house. And the same thing kind of happened with credit cards, not to the same extent. Even a mild recession is going to cause a lot of pain for credit card debtors. I'm not saying the next recession is going to be as bad as what we had, or the downturn will be as bad, but it doesn't have to be for people who have large amounts of credit card debt to be really hurt. That's what we want to focus on today. Most people are handling their credit well, but there's still people who need help. They're struggling. And even those who are doing well can always do better. So what we want to do is take a look at that and see how you can improve your financial holding, make your financial picture look better. If you listen to all the financial gurus on the TV and internet, that's the wrong thing to do. They're looking for the easy fix. They're not looking for a reasonable solution for long term.
So this is for credit card debt, an easy fix for credit card debt.
Yes. But one of the first things, and we want to talk about what the financial gurus talk about and tell you why it's a bad idea. And the first one is to transfer all your credit to a zero balance credit card. So you take all your high interest credit, put it on a card that for the next 18 to 24 months will allow you to have it at zero interest costs. And they say that's going to save you thousands of dollars.
Well, why wouldn't it?
Well, it will, but.
Well, then it sounds like a good idea.
It's a big but.
What's the big
but? Have you changed your spending habits? If you haven't changed your spending habits, and you now have all these credit cards that have been wiped clean because you've put them on a new card with zero interest, what are you going to do?
You're going to probably rack up more credit card debt on the old credit cards that are now paid off.
Except that they're not paid off because you've got that interest charged and you're not paying interest on it.
But it feels like they're paid off.
Do you think it's because 0% they feel they can spend?
I guess that's what happens. But you know what?
It's crazy.
0% is still debt.
Exactly.
It's still debt. So that's not a good idea unless you have totally changed the way that you handle your spending. And guess what? That doesn't happen overnight. That takes 6 months, 8 months, a year to make that change and make it be a repetitive, you're not going to fall back into the cesspool of credit card debt.
So that would be a key ingredient in preparing yourself for the next recession. Is change your spending habits.
Absolutely. We're going to talk some more about that.
well, from what we've seen, the people that go through the hassle and the angst and the lifestyle changes in order to change their spending habits are the ones that make the long-term changes, because they've revised their lifestyle. So it's much more likely that their habits are going to change and that it's going to stick, instead of just paying off the credit cards and then being happily.
And when you talk about changing their lifestyle, you're not suggesting they become monks. I mean, it's just take a look at where they're spending their money.
And being careful with it.
Yeah, exactly. Moderation.
Moderation in all things, right? Mm-hmm.
The second thing that these gurus are talking about is going out and getting a personal loan. So this is not a secured loan. It's not based on your house or your car or anything else. It's just you go out and get a loan for X thousand dollars to pay off the credit cards.
So that's the same thing, right?
It's exactly the same thing. Yes. Yeah. You're going to put all that credit card debt on this loan. It has a lower interest rate. It's not zero, but it's going to be in, you know, 5% or something like that, 6%. And the process is easy, probably too easy, because it can happen too fast. The same thing's going to happen. You're going to end up with all the debt you still had, you're paying it off, and now as things come up, you're going to start using those other credit cards again, and you're going to be incurring more and more and more debt.
The debt cycle.
Please don't go out and get a home equity line of credit to do the same thing, because now your house is at risk.
And that seems to be a common theme for people who will go out and get a loan to pay off debt. Is take out a home equity loan.
Well, that's because that's where the, what's it called, collateral is. You know, they have so much credit card debt that they can't get more credit unless mm-hmm. they have collateral for it, and the collateral is within the equity of their house.
Well, and plus the interest rates on home equity loans, HELOC loans are called, is so low that people just jump to it because, oh, it's just a great thing. But again, if you haven't changed your spending habits, It's not going to work. You're going to get into more trouble and more trouble. So what should you do? The big thing is to change your attitude on how you spend your money. I think that most people are buying things to find happiness, something to make them happy. I was reading the different articles and stuff. Some lady said she hated her job, so she went shopping every day at lunchtime to make her feel better.
Oh, that sounds like an expensive lunchtime.
And then she'd get home, she realized, oh, I already have something almost the same as this. You know, why did I spend that money? I'm not any happier.
But we have friends, not good friends, but we know people from our social circle that shop for entertainment. I mean, that's what they do on Saturday.
They just go out to shop.
That sounds like the most awful thing in the world. I just can't imagine shopping.
For decades. That's how they spend the majority of Saturday nights at the mall.
Do they actually buy things?
I don't know the answer, but they have to. I mean, let's say they're 35 weeks out of the year. They have to have purchased something.
Well, if you walk through a store long enough, something's going to jump out and say, buy me.
Yeah.
You need me. I'm cute. I'd look so good on you.
The husband in the same golf shirt twice.
Oh, I bet the wife doesn't wear the same golf shirt twice either, does she?
Probably not, because she doesn't golf, but I don't know the answer.
So if you're buying things to make you feel better, what is it about your life that you're not happy with? Think about that and try and figure that part out. Another approach would be to think about the way you're spending. Is it harder to spend if you're using cash or you're using a credit card?
Oh, it's much harder to spend cash. It feels like something's leaving you because you're leaving something behind when you spend cash.
You're consuming the product at the same time you're paying for it.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And so if you put it on a credit card, then that payment is delayed. And, you know, there's been a lot of studies out there that have shown that people will spend one-third more using a credit card than they will on cash.
You know, one of the things that I think is most dangerous about using credit cards is it gives kids the assumption that all I need is one of those little plastic cards like my mom and dad have, and I can buy anything I want. You know, there's no conscious connection there between earning money, having cash in your hand, and spending money. It's like, all I need is this card and I can buy things.
One of the things that I read, one of the articles that I read, was promoting an organization that will give everybody in the family a debit card, even the kids. And you give the kids a debit card, and that's how they pay for their lunches. They do everything based. So what are you doing?
Teaching them how to spend using a little plastic card.
Yeah, exactly. It's just, I can't believe people think this is a good idea.
Well, it's a slippery slope that you can slide down real easily.
Yeah, and even though it's a debit card, so you're spending cash, you know, you don't realize it. It's just
well, especially
a credit
not
card.
Kids.
Yeah,
yeah,
absolutely.
The big takeaway from this segment, and it's one that we have strongly recommended over years, is to make sure that your spending habits are in check, in order. This is very important, whether there is a potential for a recession or not. As John said, controlling your spending does not happen overnight. It could transform over the course of 6, 8, 9, 12 months. So today would be a great day to check. Are your spending habits in order? If the answer is no, then start working on that today. You're listening to Manage Your Money God's Way. We are from Compass Catholic Ministries. And speaking of transformation, we have revised our small group Bible study, and it is now 6 weeks in length. And the name of it is Faith and Money Matters. You can preview this Bible study today just simply by going to compasscatholic.org. Well, today we're providing some recommendations on preparing in the event another recession happens. So, John, what are a few other recommendations that both you and Evelyn would like to share?
Get your last credit card statement and look at every single purchase you made and rate each purchase from 1 to 5 on, did this purchase make me happy? Not the instant that I bought it, but 3 days later or now 30 days later or after. Am I still happy about that purchase?
A lot of the times when you look back on what you purchased, it's like, why did I want that? Why did I buy that? Did I really need that?
Interesting, in a coaching session we did last week, the young guy that we're using is all digital. So we showed him about mint.com. Uh-huh.
Yeah. Yeah.
So he's really into this now. And he looks every day, which we're happy. But we went through his spending. And I said, okay, and your expenses last 30 days, what would you have done differently? He pointed out 2 items, and he did say at the time it did appear to be a good selection, a good purchase.
But in hindsight.
But like you said, looking at your expenses on what did you spend your money on, we never had to say, were you happy with all those? He's the one who pointed that out.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's a good way to coach people, is to ask them questions and make them think, mm-hmm. not tell them what they did right or wrong.
Right.
So if you rank every item on your credit card bill from 1 to 5, with 1 being, I am so happy I did that, and 5 being, what in the world was I thinking about? And then look at it, and then try and figure out, the next time you're at the store, is this going to be a 1 or is this going to be a 5?
What do I want to do differently?
Yes, yes.
And that gets back to that change, that habit change you were talking about earlier in the show.
Exactly, exactly. You know, what you want to do is get to the point where everything on that credit card statement is a 1 or a 2 on the happy meter.
Oh, the happy-ometer.
Yeah, yeah. Another way to think about your spending habits is to think about the Apostle Paul. Paul had to learn how to be content. And another way of thinking about being content is to consider the way you live your life. Do you live your life from a perspective of scarcity or abundance? So what do I mean by that? If you're living from a scarcity mentality, you think you don't have enough. You need to continue to gather more and more and more. It's like the squirrels in the fall. You got to gather, gather, gather. We always need more. The focus is that we might not have enough, we need more. We might suffer from the lack of something. I can't tell you what it is, but there might be something. And we can never be happy with what we have because we're looking to have more.
So how is that different from the abundance mentality?
Well, if you take a moment and think about things would look like from an abundance mentality, first is you already have enough. You really don't need more. And if you don't need more, then the only things that you do purchase are those things that really make you happy. Not just for the instant gratification, but for the long term. Paul's first letter to Timothy said this: "For we brought nothing into the world, just as we shall not be able to take anything out of it." Well, that's pretty good. You know, we come in naked, we basically go out naked. "If we have food and clothing, we shall be content with that." That's probably the most important thing there. If we have food and clothing, we should be content. "Those who want to be rich are falling into temptation and into a trap and into many foolish and harmful desires which plunge them into ruin and destruction." How many people do you know that have that happen to them? Because they're out there all the time looking to get more, to have something else. And he ends this particular set of verses: "For the love of money," emphasis on love, "for the love of money is a root of all evils. And some people in their desire for it have strayed from the faith and have pierced themselves with many pains." Nothing's changed in the last 2,000 years. We still enter the world with nothing. And you can't take it out when you die. I've never seen a hearse with a U-Haul on the back. The last thing you want to think about is your saving habits. In times past, you could tell who managed their financial affairs well by the size of their herds, their cattle, their sheep, their goats, the number of acres that they farmed.
Today, we assume we know the state of financial affairs of people by how big their car is, how big their house is, how many new things they have. But that's not necessarily how well off people are. Mm-hmm. It just shows what they bought, and you don't know how much debt there is behind that.
Exactly. And that's, I think that's what so many priests get tricked by, because they see this opulence, they don't understand the underlying support.
I agree with you there. So, John, just to go back to Paul's letter to Timothy, and in that quote that you just read, there's nothing wrong with having money. It's the love of having money that you become obsessed.
There's a lot of rich people in the Bible who were praised for the wealth that they had. So there's nothing wrong with the having money.
Yeah, I just want people to understand that there's nothing wrong with having money. It's not a sin or anything. It's just how obsessed you become with love, money and objects and possessions.
It's what you do to get it and what you do when you've got it.
Right.
That can be the sinful part.
But I'm glad you brought that up, because I think that's one of the most misquoted Bible verses there are, because most people quote that as money is the root of all evil.
Right.
And it's not money. It's the love
of money.
So
the word love is missing.
Yes.
Yeah. Obsession. Yeah.
Obsession is a good way.
So we go back and think about, these people had herds of cattle or goats or sheep or whatever, and they had a lot of acres of wheat or corn or barley or whatever. They could look off their front porch out over their lands, and they could, quote unquote, take stock of what they had. You know, they could actually look at it. It was like in the biblical times, in the sheep herders, the parable of the lost sheep. That sheep herder knew one sheep was missing, and he went out after it. So in today's world, it's not like that at all. You can't stand on your front porch and take stock of your wealth or what you have in your life, because everything that we are doing with savings or gaining wealth is hidden away.
Or anything we're doing to get material wealth or perceived material wealth is also hidden away because of the debt that's behind it.
Exactly. You know, it's hidden behind the passwords of mutual funds and stock investments and, many other different doors. And because it's hidden, it's not easy to really understand your investments and how much you've accumulated. But I think it's really important to have a visual image of where you are with your savings and your investments. And you have to have a goal. Let me give you an example. Back many years ago, when we were really struggling, one of the exercises that we did was to create a collage of all the things that we really thought we wanted to have in our lives. You know, we wanted new patio furniture. We wanted to take a cruise. My son wanted a puppy. This piece of poster board.
It included braces for our son. I mean, it wasn't anything really outrageous.
They were all nice things. They were nothing that we could afford at the time. And we put these pictures on a board. And for a while, it was on the refrigerator. And we got tired of looking at it on the refrigerator. And it eventually ended up under a bed. And then we moved, and it got packed up in a box. And we found it many years later. And we looked at that and those pictures. And in every single case that I can remember, we had accomplished every goal that we had in picture form on that poster board. Even down to the point where the patio furniture that we eventually bought was the same color with the same pattern as the one that the picture had on it.
The weird one was we got the same dog that was on the picture.
Yeah. I think it's important that you have these goals in your mind.
And it's not so much goals about accumulating. It's also can be goals about paying things off. What is it going to look like when you have your debt paid off, when you're prepared for the what ifs in life, when you're not buying the next best thing because you're managing your money well? What are those pictures going to look like?
That's a great idea, Evelyn. I like that. You just have to set goals, establish priorities, and manage everything you do from your spending habits to your generosity to the way you live your life. And you should be focusing on what you have, not on what you don't have. So you can be prepared for the next recession if you follow the ideas that we've talked about today. You don't have to be ultra rich or ultra successful. You just need to be smart about the way you manage your financial attitudes and your spending. And it probably wouldn't hurt to memorize that verse from 1 Timothy that Paul wrote, "For we brought nothing into the world, just as we shall not be able to take anything out of it. If we have food and clothing, we shall be content with that. Those who want to be rich are falling into temptation and into a trap, and into many foolish and harmful desires, which plunge them into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is the root of all evils, and some people, in their desire for it, have strayed from the faith and have pierced themselves with many pains."
For me, the two big takeaways from today's show as we discuss preparing for the next recession, the first one is changing your spending habits. If your spending is like out of control, now is the time to make that change, that adjustment. Because as John said 10, 15 minutes ago, that type of habit changing doesn't occur overnight. It does over time. The second one was your saving habits. Now more than ever, you need to be saving money for both that emergency fund and also for the future. You can check out Evelyn's blog on the topic of preparing for a recession. Just read it at compasscatholic.org. All right, John and Evelyn, let's get to a couple of emails that we received this week. And congratulations are in order. This is great news. We are finally debt-free and only plan on using one credit card. Our question to you two, should we close the other accounts?
The best way to do it is to only use the one card that you plan to use. You can destroy the other cards, lock them up in a safe place, put them in a bowl of water in the freezer, but don't close the accounts.
Your credit score is based on the ratio of the credit available to you and the amount that you used. A lower ratio means a higher credit score. If you close those accounts, the credit available to you decreases. So the ratio of available credit versus what you are using goes higher, which will lower your score.
Sounds like funny math.
All right, John and Evelyn, here's another question from our email list. How can I give a tax-free cash gift to another person?
A person can give $15,000 a year to as many people as he or she wants. The gift tax is free in this case, up to $15,000. It's free both to the giver and to the receiver of the gift. And this can be a real blessing, especially if you're giving to children or grandchildren who are in need.
All right, John and Evelyn, this is our last question. My husband and I are cashing in several valuable life annuity insurance policies, which will net us about $135,000. The balance on the mortgage is $42,000, and the first of our three children head off to college in 2 years. What should we do with the money? Do we pay off the home, invest, or save it for college?
You know, John, I think the best thing you can do with a windfall is to pay off your home mortgage and then take whatever you were paying in your monthly mortgage payment and build up your savings.
You know, having your home paid off is one of the best ways you can plan for your children's education, because you're going to have more money available each month to help pay their college expenses.
And what's that saying? You can borrow for education, but you can't borrow for your retirement.
That's absolutely true.
As always, John and Evelyn, great job. Now, if you have a financial situation that you're in and you would like some sound advice from John and Evelyn Mean, by all means, send us your questions. In fact, you can send as many questions as you would like. Let me give you the email address. It's ask@compasscatholic.org. That email address again is ask@compasscatholic.org. And while you're on the website, check out our revived 6-week small group Bible study. We have reduced it from 9 weeks to 6 weeks, and the name of that Bible study is Faith and Money Matters. We'll show you how to reduce and then eliminate your debt totally. For John and Evelyn Bean, thank you so much for downloading this podcast. Remember, we have a brand new podcast for you each and every Wednesday morning. Simply go to compasscatholic.org, scroll down on the homepage, click on podcast, and there you will find it. This is Manage Your Money God's Way. And again, we're from Compass Catholic Ministries.